It's Thursday, so that means Dr. Mike is here to fix your life and your lineup. Life advice, questions, fantasy questions.
Let's just take a second and stew that over.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
It is Thursday, and we are out of a tornado warning, which was yesterday,
yes,
and we'd live to tell about it.
That was exciting.
Jane, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. You?
I am also fantastic.
I'm
really excited about our guest today. So we have a short show. It's hard to say. Because we are airing the January 6th hearings that start at noon. Our coverage starts at noon. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to have fun for the first hour ahead of it. And then we'll stand by during any breaks and cut back to our show from 12 to noon. But we are airing it live. But in the meantime, I want to get straight to our first guest because we don't have a lot of time with her because she has been busy this week. So if you spend any time on the internet, you might have seen a viral video this week of a comedian performing and having an interaction with a heckler, which happens a lot in stand-up. But what doesn't happen a lot always is that heckler or that heckler's companion chucking a beer at the comedian after the show, which is what happened to Ariel. Ariel, how are you doing? You live to tell about it.
Hi, my friend.
Hi, my friend. Sorry, we're here to get some feedback, and so I got a little distracted. But Ariel Elias, you have been on everyone's feed this week. And I want to play the video, even though we can't see it, and hear some of the exchange. But I want to focus more on what this week has been like in the aftermath, because I'm sure you've lived and retold the story enough. So for anyone who actually hasn't seen this video yet, I don't know how you've missed it because she's been everywhere, but let's play that quickly and then we'll come back.
What's your question?
Did you vote for Donald Trump?
Did I vote for Donald Trump? What do you think?
No.
Okay. Here's a question for you. Why would you ask me that in here knowing I'm the only Jew in this room? Are you trying to get me killed? If it makes you feel any better, I vote in New York. My vote doesn't matter there. It doesn't matter here either. Guys, everybody vote for whoever you want to vote. I don't care who you voted for. I'm just happy we're all here together.
So you voted for Biden.
I don't know. Why does it matter? Yeah, so what? Why does it matter?
I can just tell by your jokes you voted for Biden.
Why are we talking about politics?
I can tell by the fact that you're still talking when nobody wants you to that you voted for Trump.
Don't understand yourself.
Alright, make some noise if you want her to shut up. But I did ask if anybody had any questions. I didn't think it was going to be... That's on me. That was on me for thinking I could have a human interaction with somebody. That's my fault. No, look, I'm such an insecure person. Here, I'll tell you the rest of that bit, and then we'll move on. I'm so insecure, I went and got an IUD.
Oh, my God.
Oh!
So what you couldn't see is the beer flies right past your head.
Yeah.
How close was it?
I didn't realize until I got home and watched the video, like, that it was, I mean, it was a few inches away. It's not like I felt the breeze go past my head, you know, like it wasn't that, but it was close. It was close to my, like, he was aiming for my head.
And then the other thing you don't see, cause this is radio, is that you pick up the beer and you finish chugging the beer.
Yeah. I knew you would be proud of me for that.
I mean, this is Wisconsin. I don't know if we rubbed off on you at all, because the backstory here of how Arielle and I know each other is that we met during 2020 and we became writing partners because I was looking for someone to help with jokes for As Goes Wisconsin. She was, like all of us, not doing a lot of in-person comedy because she was staying at home. And we've become good friends ever since. And so we actually talked the Sunday before, the weekend before, because you were helping me with the roast for Milwaukee and my jokes with that. And you're like, yeah, I have this set. I'm performing in Jersey this weekend in this place called Uncle Vinny's. Like, yeah. And then fast forward to Sunday night, and Jane sent me Jane sent it to me before. I don't even know if she knew we were friends. She's like, did you see this? And I go, holy moly, I am friends with her.
Yeah, we have like a monthly Zoom just to check in on life.
Because things have gotten so busy. And so like, what? This is because Greg Bach, who is one of the co-owners of the local comedy club, we were talking about it yesterday. He goes, this is why I tell every comic, tape your set.
Yeah. It's amazing how many publications were like, who taped that? And I said, I did. And I said, oh, so like a PR person, like somebody on your team taped it. And I was like, oh, they have no idea. Comedians, we tape everything. Like, we try to tape as many sets as we can because we have to push out so much content. But it's this total disconnect between what the life is actually like, where it's like, yeah, we all have a $20 tripod and our phone.
Exactly. Because that was what was funny. Your friend, I also know John Marco, who was performed after you that night. He joked, but I think was also serious, is that as soon as he knew you were okay, he went and like checked to make sure your camera was okay.
Well, it's, I mean, I got off stage and I was just like, that's going to make a great clip. Having no idea that it was going to be this, but I was just like, yeah, that'll get me a few followers.
And how many followers has it actually gotten you across all these different channels now?
On Instagram, I'd say about 50,000 more. And on Twitter, I was like a little under 6,000 followers. And I think now I'm like 115,000.
Because on Twitter, because this is the thing, it's not even, because if you Google Ariel's name right now, which is Ariel, like Ariel the mermaid, then E-L-I-A-S. I did it this morning. No, I did it yesterday. I don't know if there's a news outlet that hasn't covered this. I mean, who have you talked to in the last week? Thank you for making time for our little show, by the way.
Anytime, Kristen. Always and forever. I've talked to CNN, Good Morning America 3. I don't even remember anymore. Rolling Stone, BuzzFeed, Newsweek, a few others. And then I also very much, like, I got the most exciting was I got an email from like my local hometown's newspaper, the Herald Leader. And I was just like, oh my God, I've made it.
I love that that's it. Because it's like when you Google it, it's like Deadline, CNN, Washington Post, Deadline, Lexington Herald, Jimmy, Variety Magazine, Insider, CBS News. It's been insane. And the biggest thing is that has Jimmy Kimmel's people, are they in touch?
Yeah, we have a date.
Can you announce it?
I don't know when it's going to air, but we're taping the 24th, October 24th. So,
which will be your late night debut.
It'll be my late night debut. Let it be a lesson, like always shoot your shot.
For sure.
But it's also this thing of, you know, I've been trying for a few years now to get on late night and to do a set. So this isn't, I think one thing about this whole thing is that it's not as if like I got lucky and went viral. I mean, I did, obviously, but I do want to be clear. Like, I've been working for a long time and I did not come out of nowhere, even though it seems like that to most people.
And I think that's the thing where, as I was telling friends here that you were coming on, I was like, she's incredibly funny. She's an incredible writer. She deserves this. And what a wild thing how life works. This is a breakthrough. Like, this is what a breakthrough moment is. And I mean, truly, to your credit, though, it's not just that the reprehensible behavior of that heckler and almost hitting you. It is also how you handled it. And like a pro, right? And so it's not, I don't think you crying off of stage is a very different video that I don't necessarily gets you booked on Jimmy Kimmel. And so it is your credit as a performer that makes that video so iconic of how you handled that. And it's also how dumb is life that this is what?
It's so dumb. I've just been, it's so dumb too. I mean, it's also a lesson of like, keep your head down, work hard. Yeah. And hopefully at some point, I mean, hopefully this doesn't happen to anybody else where you have something thrown at you. But I guess just, you know, it's easy to like, especially in this business, to like be embittered and look at what other people have and go like, well, why don't I have that? And I think one lesson that I've taken is just like, it's okay to just work and to just keep trying and see what breaks through.
Absolutely. And so I think it's that. And I think about this even with the radio show, like, which is, you know, for 2 years, you and I have been friends and we've been working on stuff and we've run jokes by each other. And
one day we'll meet.
I know, this is the funniest part, is that we haven't actually met in person, and yet you watched my wedding as if you were, we've been friends my entire life.
And you watched mine.
Exactly.
We like went to each other's Zoom wedding.
And, you know, COVID, we'll just blame it on that. But now actually we're going to get you in Wisconsin because we're going to book you at all of the Wisconsin. We're just going to do a tour. I'll open for you. How about that? Also the parts of the timing being right. Because say this happened, because you've been doing comedy for 10 years, 11 years?
11, yeah.
And even 5 years ago, this happens. You're less of a mature performer. You're less of a mature writer. Like now you have, you know, you have your pilot. You have things and like a body of work to show to people. Because now that the spotlight is on you, like you have the skill set and the chops to like show up and not just have this be a flash in the pan
right thing.
And like that's even how I've felt with, not that I'm not going on Jimmy Kimmel anytime soon, but it's like being able to do the radio show and do 3 hours a day, like I couldn't have done this 2 years ago,
right?
And so it's like, yeah, like the thing of like the harder you work, the luckier you get, and that you're prepared yeah. when your chance comes.
Yeah. And then figuring out like, what do you want from it? Right. Like this week has been crazy. I have, it's been really, I think part of it is also processing the actual night, like the actual yeah. event. I've found that when I close my eyes, my heart starts racing. Like when I try to go to sleep, it's really difficult right now. And I'm sure I'm going to need to find a therapist. I was talking to my mom and I was like, yeah, like fortunately things are slowing down a little bit. And she was like, no, I think you should try to do every interview. And I was like, no, I don't want to be, you know, the beer chugging,
yeah.
heckler owning comedian. Like I need this to be my career. Like I'm parlaying exactly. this into a longer.
All right, we gotta go to a break really quickly. Our guest right now is Ariel Elias. Ariel Elias. She'll be here when we get back. Thanks. This is Ask Goes to Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Ariel Elias, and she is, you might have seen her on your Twitter feed, on your TikTok, on your Instagram, maybe in one of your news outlets, because she has gone viral this week as for handling a heckler who threw a beer at her very gracefully and very humorously. She is safe, and she's also a dear friend, and so she's here to talk about what it's like to go viral, because I have never gone viral for as much content as I've created. Granted, mine's a little niche, so, but I think over 5 million views on Twitter. I think I just checked on TikTok. It's like 2.7 million views. And so you've had videos and like content do well before, but
yeah.
what does this actually feel like?
Really overwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like very grateful for it, but it's also, I don't have reps right now. So I'm the one just fielding everything, which is, it's just a lot. It's just a lot of trying to figure out what needs to be answered right now, what can wait. And also like trying to remember to eat. I'm a full-time comedian, but I also pick up like an occasional dog walk. So I'm still going in for my dog walk later. You know, it's such a weird dichotomy of life.
Yeah.
Ariel, you need to use a different voice and invent a fake name, and then you can be your own representative.
No, because then that's more work.
Gotta keep it straight. That's actually funny. Have like agents or reps come out of the woodwork saying, do you have representation?
Yeah, I've got a couple meetings set up. I don't think I'll be unrepped for long.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, I don't know. I'm learning a lot really fast.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm learning how to be on TV. I'm learning how to do interviews. I'm learning how to say no to things that I, you know, a week ago would have jumped at the chance for because I need to take care of
myself. Yeah. And what, because like you said, I think as we're going from break, you were saying, I don't want to be the girl that chugged a beer. And so as far as, at least for our podcast, our radio show and podcast and everyone who's listening to this, who are you, Ariel?
I mean, well, for one, ironically, I don't really drink that much. So if I'm the person who drinks beer, technically it was a high noon, but until they sponsor me, I'm just going to call it a beer. But I'm like, look, my comedy, it's very personal. I grew up Jewish in Kentucky, so it's a lot about that. I talk a lot about my insecurities, which is the joke that I was trying to go into. You can kind of hear it in the video. I was trying to talk about my IUD, right? And sort of like,
so not politics. You weren't actually talking about Biden or Trump or, yeah.
Never. I mean, I think that's part of why I loved writing for you, Kristen, is you do have this very political voice. And obviously I'm a political person, but I don't bring that into stand-up because I just don't think that's what stand-up is for. I think stand-up is about bringing people together. And I think I want people to be able to laugh and enjoy themselves, even if they disagree with me. But part of what was fun for writing for you was being able to like write these political jokes that I normally would never tell, right? But yeah, I talk about my eating disorder. I talk about my husband. You know, it's like that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's who I am. I love dogs.
Like, you love dogs. That's true. And that's what I think is, it's just a shame. The thing that I, as your friend, get a lot of pleasure out of this is that those two people, because it was a woman who was, you were having the verbal interaction with, and then it was her either male friend, boyfriend, husband, or whatever, who actually threw the beer, right?
Yeah, there's somebody for everybody. Never forget that.
And the fact that there's no way that they haven't seen this gone, like how viral this has gone. And to be those kind of jerks, which is the word I wouldn't want to use, but I can't use the other word because it's radio, to know that they helped launch your career with their ill-timed bad manners, there's a little bit of poetic justice in that.
Yeah, there is. They launched a beer and then they launched my career.
Great.
Thank you so much.
So what else do you have coming up as far as that you know of? So there's a date for when you're filming Kimmel. Mm-hmm. Anything else in the works?
I'll be on the Sherry Shepherd show on Monday, which I'm very excited about, especially as like, you know, I still watch 30 Rock like every night. And I watched her stand up in college. So that's super
awesome.
Exciting.
Yeah.
That's the one though where I'm just like, what do I wear? What do I wear for Sherry Shepherd?
Are you going shopping this weekend?
I don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to have time. I still have like spots and stuff, you know, I still have shows.
Have you started even attempting to write jokes about this to put in your stand-up?
I don't know. I haven't figured out what the stand-up set's going to be yet. Obviously, I have to talk about this eventually. But I think I started tweeting about the experience a little bit. Just once everybody started following me, I was like, okay, well, I want them to know like I'm a joke writer first. Yeah. So I started writing some jokes about that. I am working on an op-ed for the Washington Post. And that was the first time I really sat down. Yeah, we'll see if it gets approved. But that was the first time I sat down and really wrote out what happened. And that was the first time that I had sort of like a moment to myself, but also was trying to make it funny. So I think between those things and as I continue to process, like, yeah, I'll figure out how to make this into my stand-up.
Yeah.
I'll figure out the bits.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of the, because you already are making jokes about it, but it's the balance between, like you said, not letting this totally define you.
Right.
And yet you have to talk about it. And so in the minute we have left, not that you need more followers, but if you need more followers, what would you like to plug, or where can people find more information about you and all of your comedy?
You can follow me at @Ariel_comedy. That's A-R-I-E-L. And that's my handle on everything. You can go to my website. That'll have dates. It's Ariel Elias Comedy. Elias is spelled E-L-I-A-S. You'll also see a little shout out in my bio to As Goes Wisconsin.
Still says she's a contributing writer. So
even though she has not written anything for you in quite some time.
That is true. Just off the cuff now. Yeah. All right. Well, we got to let you go, but thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate you as a comedy writer. And I'm very happy that beer didn't hit you in the head.
Thanks. Me too. And I love you. And thanks for having me.
I love you too. All right. Well, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Having issues with your fantasy football roster? Helping with football and your love life. Here's your new best friend, Dr. Mike.
Because I'm good enough. I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. So live your life.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is that time of the week where Dr. Michael McCutcheon joins us to answer your questions about your love life, your career, your family, and your lineup. So text us, call us, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. He's here for the next half hour to answer any of your questions. Dr. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you two doing? Okay.
You know, we're surviving.
Short today?
We're surviving. Yeah. We got a short show. Yep. We got...
Yeah.
Ariel was here before. I don't know if you got to hear that segment, but
I did. I mean, we all saw the viral video of somebody throwing a high noon at her. I mean, that's like that. She handled it so well. Like the fact that she could do that, make a joke, chug the beer. She deserves to go on Kimmel and everything else. I just want to make sure before I get started, though. And Jane, is this a safe space? If I give advice people don't like, will somebody throw a beer at me? I want to know right now.
I promise you, under producer rules, no one will throw a beer at your head.
Great. Thank you.
But that's okay, actually, you did listen, I'm going to ask on Ariel's behalf of, you know, this is a exciting and yet stressful and very unique. This doesn't happen to a lot of people as far as, it's one thing to go viral when you're just a normal person and you don't have like your career that you now are like trying to take advantage of this opportunity.
Right.
And yet, you know, an act of violence happened to you. And so I don't know if she's still listening, she's probably ran off to do another interview, but if you had to give her advice as far as how to take this all in and not let it, avoid any negative externalities that can come from a massive event like this, what would you say to her?
I guess two things. One is that she mentioned that she's like just now trying to get all these calls for representation, right? To get an agent. This is what those folks are for. When you have like a manager or an agent who's, you know, gotten other people to fame and whatnot, they've been there the whole time. So once you sign on to them, lean on them and give yourself some self-compassion, because she's doing it all by herself, right? Mm-hmm. She's just on her own right now, you know, just being... having people have all kinds of opinions about anything that she said, you know, whether she's great or they hate her politics or anything like that. And it is exciting, but I think it's a really vulnerable position to be in, you know, that's a lot. So just be kind to yourself and know that everybody else who you've seen kind of climb the ranks, they probably had somebody looking over them and, you know, kind of guiding them along the way. The other thing I'll say is this might be a little cheesy, but I really, really mean it. Kristen, you're used to my cheesiness and being optimistic, so this will not surprise you. But I will say this. You know, people say it's not about the outcome, it's about the journey, or enjoy the path, enjoy every step of the way. This is exactly what they're talking about. This is that moment, Ariel. Mm-hmm. This is that moment right now that this thing happened and you were trying to get on Kimmel, or you were trying to get on Late Night, and now they're trying to come to you, and you were trying to get representation, and now they're coming to you, and you were trying to get followers, and now they're coming, you know, by the thousands every single day. Actually, she said the other day she was trying to write the op-ed for the Post. Give yourself lots of those moments. Forget about the Post. Like, sit in this and go, I've worked my tail off for years, and this is the moment or My Star is Rising. That's so cool, and it doesn't happen for everybody. So, like, really enjoy this moment right now, you know?
All right, well, I'll have to send her the this link because I'm not sure she's listening right now. She's got other things to do. But that is very good advice. And hopefully we have some more good advice because we do already have a couple different questions. But if you would like to call us on air and ask Dr. Mike live, 844-967-2789, shoot us a text about your life, about your lineup, thus the name of the segment, Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life and Your Lineup. All right, but question number one is a love life question. Hey, Dr. Michael, I'm a 34-year-old woman and I'm feeling pretty down after attending a beautiful wedding. My two friends who got married are so clearly in love, and it was nice to see, but also really hard because I have been single for almost 3 years and haven't really dated due to the pandemic and feeling nervous about putting myself back out there. I flew back home after the wedding and felt so lonely traveling by myself, and then cried once I got back to my empty apartment. I have two questions. How do I not let instances like this get me down and derail my work week? And how should I approach getting back out and into a scary dating scene?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of us can relate to this, you know. I didn't get married till I was nearly 40 years old, so I went to a lot of people's weddings before I attended my own. And I certainly called Kristen teary after some of them and saying it'll never happen to me and feeling really bad about it. And Kristen said, yeah, you're never going to get married because you're unlovable, but we'll say that for another day. yeah, that is hard, right? You want to be so happy for other people, but you also feel a little bit sad and lonely and scared for yourself when you come back to a lonely apartment. I think a lot of us have been there. You know what? I've got a 2-for-1 for you, Kristen. I'm going to give the same piece of advice to both questions. The one was, how do I not let this derail my week, right? The short term. And then the bigger thing, it is scary to get back out there and dating. We've gotten a lot of dating questions so far in this segment over the last several weeks. It's rough out there. And I think the best piece of advice I could give you is actually, it's not even from me. It's from Joan Baez, right? She said something like, action is the antidote to despair. Right? If you're feeling down, feel your feelings, and that's fine, but don't sit in them. Go do something. When you're feeling upset about the state of the world, go run for office or protest or donate or, you know, get out the vote, right? And in your own personal life, you know the things, they said they're in their early 30s, you know the things that work well for you, right? What do you need to eat? How do you need to move your body? Who makes you feel good? What activities work for you? And instead of looking, you know, for the universe to give you some kind of answers, it's look here first. Like, you look inside first. You know how to make yourself feel better through that week, and just double down on that. I usually equate this when I talk to my clients around the idea of when you know you're about to get sick, right? You should be taking emergency stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That gives you like 500% of your vitamin C, airborne, right? I know about somebody who takes echinacea by the, you know, all that stuff. Stay on the front end of it, right? If you know, like, I'm in the airport, I'm headed back into my apartment, I'm feeling down, but I got to work this week. I got to do some things, you know, overdo it. Plan things with friends, like take yourself to a massage, get to a workout class, healthy groceries, whatever it is that you know is going to make you sort of feel a little bit better. With the dating thing, same thing. I know that it's scary out there, but doing something, I promise you, doing something is going to give you at least a glimmer more of hope than sitting around, right? So I know that, you know, the dating apps are hard, or just going out in general is, you know, and kind of being on the lookout is kind of hard. But, you know, I'm sure you're not the only one. That's how I got back out into the dating scene. A friend of mine was on a dating app, and I looked at hers and I thought, this is ridiculous. And then I thought, maybe I should do it. And I'm just being afraid of getting back out there because, you know, I felt a little nervous as well. So yeah, just trust me, just doing something is better than not doing something. And, it is hard out there, but, as Kristen and I could both vouch in like the last, you know, 15 months, we both went from very unmarried to very married, you know, and that only
and
happened
both
by
met both of our partners on apps.
We met both of our partners on apps, right? And so I think, I think there's something to just saying, this is going to be hard or this scares me, but also remember that you have a lot of things in your life because they were hard. We can do hard things. So this is an opportunity for you to do a hard thing and have something really wonderful come out of it. And then you can be the person up there and you can get married and you can say the beautiful vows and you can make somebody else feel bad about themselves and the beautiful cycle continues.
We crush people's feelings here.
That's what we do. Yeah.
So my follow-up question, because then I want to get to my lineup because this is, you know, part football, part life. When you're talking to your clients, because I hear just anecdotally from my friends who are still on apps that it's hard. And so when people are like, I'm sick of the apps, are there other avenues that you feel like people find success in meeting new people than just, you know, and I say this as someone who had lots of bad luck on apps and obviously then ended up finding my partner there. And so is it more of it's there? And it's a constant supply of people and new people you can be meeting? Or do you also feel like people should be spending more time trying to do activities where they put themselves in the situation to meet people in real life?
Yeah. First thing, just as a little anecdote about how bad it is out there on the apps and why people are legitimate in their trepidation for doing this. I have a client who just this week told me she was on an app and she's been divorced for almost exactly a year, trying to get back out there. I went on a couple dates, just okay. Meets this one guy, they're texting back and forth, going great. Talked on the phone, moved up to FaceTime. We're about to they're going to go on a date on Friday or Saturday, but just can't wait to actually see you. Let's do a FaceTime on Thursday. And they just talked over some things and it came out during the talk that she was divorced. And he said, I'm out. I can't do it. That's just one of the things for me. I'll let you know in a couple of days if I change my mind, but just hold tight. So she's just waiting by the phone, waiting for somebody to let her know if it's okay. And then he didn't respond. So she texted him, what do you think? And he said, no, yeah, I can't do it. So, by the way, for those of you not watching, Kristen and Jane, both of them have their jaw on the floor right now, and I was too. And so that's the thing. People are going to not, you know, they're going to, you know, be flakes because they have their own insecurities, or they're going to, you know, be smothering because, you know, they have their own insecurities, right? There's a lot of people out there. They're going to have their things. And again, I'm stealing this advice from somebody else, but the truth is, and I hope that people can hear this, is that you can be the ripest, juiciest peach in the whole world. And there are still going to be some folks who just don't like peaches, and that's okay. This client of mine, I'm a little biased, but she is wonderful. She is bright. She is educated. She is self-sufficient. She's beautiful. She's a total catch. And this guy just doesn't get it. And that's not her fault. And so she should still get it back out there and do it. To answer Kristen's question, I'll answer this from a psychological perspective. You know, when we have patients come into a center or whatnot, we're trying to figure out what's going on with them. We usually don't say, oh, let's just have them do therapy or just have them do meds or just have them, you know, meet with a nutritionist or just have them do any kind of one or just give them a Rorschach ink blot test and see what their psyche says or whatever. We think of all of these things as possibilities, as tools, right? And you think about what the best things are for them. So I wouldn't suggest that people just do one thing. Kristen's totally right. Yes, do the apps. They're out there and nearly everyone's on them. Great. Also, go out. One of my clients is going on his third date with somebody this week from somebody he just met out dancing. He went by himself to have a drink and a live band showed up and he didn't know. And everybody else was there and he started dancing and he walked this girl home and now they're going on their third date this weekend, right? Just because he put himself out there. How cute is that? So those kinds of 1950s styles love stories still do happen. And so give yourself the opportunity to make those things happen as well. But Kristen's right. You know, just as her brother would probably say, the great financial whiz he is, diversify your portfolio. You know?
He's actually going to come on the show tomorrow because we had the CPI report come out. And so he needs to come back to explain the markets to those of us who don't follow the markets. And so we only have 2 minutes left until a break. Do you have fast advice for my ESPN fantasy football league? Or do you think
did you win?
I did win. So last week I won by 30 points. Which was great. Oh, so gosh. I'm 4-1 right now, so feeling pretty good. Yeah. But my big question is, I still have two defenses because, you know, he who shall not be named had me pick up another defense and then I lost my one loss so far. And so should I send one of them packing and try to find, or should I have, because last week I swapped out my two defenses, because I saw that the Chargers had a higher prediction for how much they were going to, how many points they were going to have. And that ended up being true. They did better than the 49er defense. And so at this point, do I need two defenses or should I be shopping around?
I think what you're doing is winning. And so just, this is good advice for you. You've listened to your husband, you lost, never listen to him ever again for any reason. Yep. So that's that. And then I would keep both defenses for right now because A, you can swap them in like you did before, and or B, one of them is going to have a bye week and you're not going to have a defense and you're going to be shopping for a bad defense then. So hold on to them for now.
All right. All right. Well, we're still taking your texts and your calls, 844-967-2789. Any questions about your love life, your career, or your fantasy football lineup, we will take them when we come back after this break. This is Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life and Your Lineup on As Goes Wisconsin.
By empirical evidence, we're gonna grind up your guys into burger meat. Again, of course, we're speaking in the figurative sense. What's the use of even going through the motions when you know that you're gonna lose anyhow? So why don't you save us all some time and give
He was giving them the business.
Is your love life a fantasy? Having issues with your fantasy football roster? Helping with football and your love life, here's your new best friend, Dr. Mike.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. So live your
life. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are in the second half of our weekly segment with Dr. Mike, who is here to fix your life and your lineup. He is a psychologist and an executive coach and a fantasy football savant and my best friend of 15 years. And so what is this, week five, six that we've been doing this?
I think six. Yeah, I think it's six.
It basically just lines up with whatever week we are with the in the NFL. Right. So, all right. So one more life question, and then we have a new football game to play. All right, so facing fears. Hey, Dr. Michael. Oh, hold on, I lost it. Hey, Dr. Michael, I'm a 29-year-old guy, and I've basically lived so much of my life afraid to do things. So I just end up living most in my mind and making up things to be afraid of. So I end up doing nothing. I'm currently in a new graduate program, met a new woman who's interested in dating me, and was offered a job without even applying. I really just want to quit school and say no to all of the new opportunities because I'm afraid of the unknown. How can I turn my mindset around and stop being so afraid of the unknown?
Wow. Well, congratulations on all the good luck you're having.
Yeah, seriously.
That's great. things are falling into your lap. You know, look, if you don't want to do something because it doesn't make sense to do it and you really don't want to, then don't do it. But don't let fear drive your life first and foremost, right? I mean, I think the reason you're calling or writing in now is because that's already been going on for so long. And I have a hunch that you're not liking that, right? So we already know how that goes. I'm not saying this other way will be better, but I can promise that it will be different, right? So if you're not happy with the first one, let's try something else. First and foremost, remember that, you know, the reason why we're usually afraid of things is because we don't know, right? It's like you just said, it's the fear of the unknown. The only way to get out there and actually know something is to do something, is to mix it up a little bit. We can run infinite simulations in our minds, right? We can just come up with all of the best things that will happen to us, all the worst things will happen to us. And guess what? None of it matters. None of it's real. You just made it up. Right. So experience is the best teacher. I would encourage you to go get some data, go do some things. And if things scare you, you know, I always try to think about things, even when I work with myself and try to work on my own self. I always think, like, how would I talk to a little kid about this? Right. And how can I be kind with myself? And so if I had a little kid who was at home and they were afraid of something, I would say, you know what? Do you think there's a monster under the bed? Or you think there's a monster in the closet? There honestly might be. We don't know, right? It's fair. It's fine to be afraid of that. Let's take a flashlight and let's go under there and look. And if there is, then we can worry about how to handle it. And if there's not, then we don't have anything to worry about. Like, let's go shine a light on the monster and just see how scary it is before we start staying up all night and being afraid and losing sleep over it. So what I would say to you is, when these things occur, because they're going to occur all the time, because you do live so much in your mind and you're afraid, remember this little acronym. It's called WOOP, W-O-O-P. Just remember WOOP. This is there's a lot of cool research on this. And it sort of balances positive thinking, which is great, but you can do too much of it, and negative thinking, which is, you know, good for safety, but you can do too much of it. How can we balance those things out? So W-O-O-P. W is wish. Think about what the wish is. What do you want? You want a career, or do you want status, or do you want love, or do you want to, you know, have a better body or whatnot? What is the wish, right? And then O is the outcome. If I got that wish, what would that do for me? What would it mean to have the career? What would it mean to have the love? What would it mean to have the new body? What would I do with it? What would it make more possible? And what could I get next? So that's W-O. That's the positive stuff. And now here comes the stuff where our reader is going to like a lot. What are the obstacles? That's the second O. What are the obstacles that could pop up for me and sort of actually disrupt my agenda and get in the way of my wish? And, you know, go ahead and think of all those things and think of all the things you might do. And then the final one is P, and that's plan, right? So what I've this is what I want to do. Here are the obstacles that I think might come up when I reach an obstacle, which I probably will. How am I going to overcome it? Who's going to help me? What can I do next to sort of to make sure that I still get what I want? So WOOP, W-O-O-P, when anything pops up and you see that fear is coming in the way, it's okay. Own it, and then have this balanced approach as to still try to get what you want. So, you know, I don't know your life, but don't quit the grad program. Go on a date with this girl and try the job out. You can always try it out, see if you love it, and go forward. And if you hate it, you can get out from underneath it. But at least then you tried and you lived a little.
Whoop! There it is. I was just sitting on that.
How long were you sitting on that? Was
basically,
that
as soon as you said it. Basically, as soon as you said, well.
Good. Great.
All right. So now for a new fantasy football game to play with Dr. Mike, over under. All right. Number one, Thursday night football is tonight and features the 1-4 Washington Commanders versus the 2-3 Chicago Bears. In this game of two hapless franchises, will their combined score be over or under 40 points, 40 total points?
40 total points. This is where we've gotten, you know, we're hoping for 40 total points. I don't know. I know Jane was watching every second of last week's game because she is a diehard Thursday night football fan. And Jane, there were no touchdowns scored in that whole game. Zero touchdowns.
I was shocked.
It was amazing. She was.
She Jane wanted her money back.
Yeah, she, that's right. She was live tweeting me the whole time. I want an Amazon Prime refund for this. These two teams are a little bit better, but not great. 40 points, and it's Thursday night. I don't think they're going to. I would go under. My friend AJ would kill me if I said on the air to go under, but I'm going to say it anyway because he's always says bet the over. I don't know if they're going to score 40 points. I think, bet the under. I don't think it's going to be as bad as last week where it's just 100 field goals back and forth. There might be a touchdown scored. I think I'd go under on this one. They are hapless franchises.
All right. Second question. Second bet. Our beloved Green Bay Packers have had trouble moving the ball on offense. In their game on this Sunday versus the surprisingly decent New York Jets, who beat the Browns, will Aaron Rodgers throw over or under 1.5 touchdowns? How do you get a 0.5 touchdown?
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask that. So what you do is, if you said over under one, people could bet one. Basically, it makes it so you have to win or lose, right? If you say, because he can throw one or he can throw two. So basically what you're saying, over under 1.5, is you're saying, will he throw zero touchdowns or one touchdown? Or will he throw two touchdowns
or more?
That's okay. Basically the book, right? And I'm not just saying this because of our viewers and their loyalty. He's going to throw a couple. I think he'll throw two or more. So yeah, go hit the over on this one. It seems like he's finding a couple people to actually throw to. It's been a little bit of a frustrating offense. I saw the way that, you know, but that was really the defense's fault and maybe the play calling. So let him throw the ball. He might throw more than two in the first half, but yeah, he'll throw more than two. So take the over on 1.5.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for today. We have to let you go, Dr. Mike, but thank you so much as always for gracing us with your brilliance and your talent for putting things in perspective and for helping us make money on fantasy football. So you're just the best.
Highlight of my week. Love you both. Good to see you, Jane. Don't get too tied up in this game tonight, Jane. I know you will, but just try to keep your emotions tempered.
I'll try to. I'll police myself.
OK. Okay, good.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Michael McCutcheon. And now for us, we are going to take a break. And I think when we come back, we actually will go live to the January 6th hearings because we are going to air it live on all of the civic media radio stations today. So stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes.